It is thought that Jesus began his public teaching and miracles at about the age of 30, which would mean that he died at about the age of 33. There's a long gap when we know nothing about him. We just know the little bit about how he was born. We know that he went with his mum and with Joseph into Egypt because Herod the king wanted to kill what he thought would be a rival king, King Jesus. Then we know a little bit about him when he was 12, when he was taken up at the age of 12, all the way to Jerusalem, and then nothing till he was 30. But when he was 30, or between 30 and 33, one of the things he said was, "I am the light of the world." You can find it sometime if you want to, but we're not going to look now. In John chapter 8 and verse 12. "I am the light of the world." Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father," that's God, "but by me." He is the light of the world, he said. There is no other light, according to him. Not all religions are equal. Not if you come to God by another name, it's not the same. But Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now, of course, I had an ulterior motive. I didn't only want to teach the children about how dark it is, as Jesus said, "If you're blind, if you can't see." I wanted it perhaps to dawn on us too, as grown-ups, just how dark it is if we do not trust the Lord Jesus as a Saviour that we know personally. Without that, there's no purpose to life. There's no destiny for life. There's no understanding of so many things. So it's just a little bit about Jesus as the light. Not just of a few people, but he is the only light of the world. But only those who trust in him will obtain the blessing of eternal life. The book immediately before Matthew, the last book of the Old Testament, speaks about the Sun of Righteousness, the S-U-N. Of righteousness. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. "And to you that fear my name shall the Son," S-U-N, not S-O-N, the boy, the son, the baby, but the S-U-N, "shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Now, it's all picture language. I want to explain this picture first of all, because it was taken up in the hymn that we sung. Did you know that the ancient Greeks and others thought of the sun in its journey that they could see above the world every day? They quite intelligently thought of it as a chariot. Imagine if we were to think of it as a car. I don't quite think that would work. But they thought of the sun as a chariot drawn by horses. There's a picture they used. But they were winged horses. Winged horses. They had to be because they flew. As they thought of the picture, you see. We all know that the sun isn't like that. They knew that. Which is their way of trying to explain how it went and travelled and then came round the next day and went again. And they called it Phoebus. We get the name Phoebe from it. Malachi here uses the picture and says that the Lord Jesus Christ is like the sun that rises, makes everything to grow, makes everything warm, changes the outlook of things, and brings healing. Now, Jesus had no wings, but you can understand the picture, you see. He brings with him healing, healing of the soul, pardon, with the light that he brings. And that's what the hymn that we just sang meant when it says, to hail thy rise, the rising, thou better sun, better than the physical sun, the gathering nations come. The sun is wonderful, but one day, in heaven, the Bible tells us, the sun will be no longer needed, and Jesus will be the light forever and ever, and the sustenance of that eternal world. Jesus then says, I am the light of the world. There were lots of prophecies, that is, words spoken years before, about when Jesus would come. God, of course, knows from the beginning what's going to happen and what he's intended to happen. So about 730 years before the time of Christ, he caused the prophet Isaiah to say this about his coming. But the people who live near where he was born, first of all, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now, God looks at the world. He looked at the world of that day, and he looks at us. And he says that we're a people who walk in darkness. Difficult to understand, is it? When you see how cruel people are, how unkind people are, how thoughtless people are, how selfish people are. And you can multiply and multiply. There are lists in the Bible of terrible things that are all the marks of Satan and all the marks of darkness. You can understand his picture. We may be able to see physically, but there are dark things. Dark things go on in people's minds. Dark thoughts, hatred thoughts, jealous thoughts, murderous thoughts, all sorts of things. And the Father says, the people that dwell in darkness, it's a terrible thing to dwell in darkness. And in the shadow of death. Now you could think, all right, maybe there's an epidemic, but it doesn't mean that there's an epidemic, except of sin. But those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. So people are on a precipice. We're all going to die. And none of them are thinking about God. None of them are thinking about how their sins can be forgiven. None of them are thinking about the Lord Jesus, who only is the light, who can make it all worthwhile, who can make it all have meaning. People walk in darkness and in the land of the shadow of death. Don't think British politicians would like us to say that the UK is the land of the shadow of death. But every land, wherever there are unbelievers in Christ, is the shadow of death. We're all going to die. And keeping going in the way we were born, with the things we had, cast that long, long shadow of death. But there is a great light in the world. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus said, a light that's set on a hill cannot be hid. I remember once I was hitchhiking through Greece, and we'd been going over a massive plain, Out from the top of the hill in the distance was a town called Lemire. And we were approaching it at about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. There was all these lights and there was all darkness around. But there in the distance was this light, and we were making for the light. On the other hand, Jesus told about those whose deeds were evil, who wouldn't come to the light, because the light would show the wretched things that they were doing. And we either are making for the light of the Lord Jesus, or we're running away from it because we know that he will find out and expose the things, the thoughts, the actions, the deeds that are typical of our life. The chapter before we read in the Bible, in Luke chapter 1, tells of the things that Jesus will come to do. So you don't have to look it up, but if you want to, it's Luke 1 and verse 79. He has come to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. You know, I became a believer in the Lord Jesus when I was 16, and I certainly wasn't before that. But I do give thanks to the Lord that I became a believer at 16. I've seen men, and of course I've seen women, go to their hospital beds. While it is that I, believing in Christ and knowing he's raised from the dead and knowing he loves me, when I die will raise me up and I will be in heaven together with all the others who've trusted in him. What has somebody got to hope for who doesn't believe in Christ? Here they are, and they've got arthritis, and they're in tremendous pain. Or here they are, and they've got cancer, like I have. Or here they are, and they've got heart trouble. And they suddenly think, but I'm only 50, I'm only 60, I'm only 70. I've got nothing to hope for, nothing to look forward to. I'm going to get slower and slower because my heart's getting worse. I'm going to get sicker and sicker because my cancer's growing and they can't do anything about it. The pain is getting so excruciating that I can't think of getting through the day, and even getting up is a bind. And it isn't going to get better. What is there to hope for when you're in that state? Now, the Bible does say that you can be saved in the 11th hour, in the last minute, so to speak. But in all my experience of ministering to few people, very few do. The Bible actually also says that most people who've gone from through life rejecting God and rejecting the Lord Jesus either say, well, I can't suddenly turn to him now for all the advantages, now that it's hopeless, can I? They could, but that's what they say. Or else they get more and more bitter against God. It's been the way of their life to be bitter, to be opposed. And they just get hardened and hardened and hardened in it, and worse. And then people sometimes say, oh, I'll put it off. Perhaps in my last days, I'll turn to the Lord, with meaning, of course, when there's nothing better to do. But supposing you go in a coma for your last 6 months. Supposing you can't think straight for your last 6 months. It's true of many. If you're a believer, you're in safe hands. But if you're not, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It is wonderful to have a Saviour who will take you to be with him forever in the world that lasts forever, where there's no more pain or suffering or anything like that. But it's also wonderful to have a Saviour who will be with you every step of life's way, to whom you may turn in your prayers, in the heart of hearts, about your problems, about the difficulties, about the good things, about the easy things, for advice, for help. I became a Christian at 16, as I said. And it means that I've had all the life that I've been spared to try and find out what is taught about the Saviour, what he wants me to do in life, and what he wants us all to do, what the gospel is, all sorts of things. But it's wonderful to yield to him when you're younger, and to serve him here, and to know the joy of sins forgiven, and to know the joy of the friendship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, now, in life, as well as in that glory that shall be. These are wonderful things. And people say, it's daft. People might even say that you're abusing children by teaching them these things. I've heard that said. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And not to see by my light is to be in darkness. Even the darkness that leads to death. Jesus came into the world to be the Saviour. We don't specially celebrate the day he was born, but you understand, of course, if he wasn't born, he couldn't have accomplished the things he did as a man. He had to be born in order to live and teach and then to die and then to be raised again. We don't actually fixate on the birth. We go for the death and the resurrection, because that's where the forgiveness of sins is granted us by the Lord. And that is where our hope of life forever comes upon us. I do beseech you at this Christmas time, just unravel a little bit from all that's going on. Read those first two chapters of Matthew, those first two chapters of Luke, just two of the four Gospels, the only two that tell the Christmas story, and it's only two chapters each. And that's all there is. But you begin to get the magnificence of what the Lord planned in preparing a body for the Lord Jesus, born of a virgin, begotten by the Holy Spirit, who did the work that a man would normally do in causing a seed to be planted in a woman, in order that it should be a Saviour who was unique, fully God and man, all in order that ordinary people like ourselves should be saved from the darkness in which by nature we find ourselves. You don't need to get into the most terrible of messes to understand that in the sight of the Lord, we're sinners. Everybody here knows, but for the sake of the visitors, my mum used to say sometimes to me, everything was wonderful in the house till you came down from bed to breakfast. And the minute I arrived, I wrecked the place. And that's exactly what we would do if we went to heaven as we are now. And it isn't allowed. We've got to come with our sins forgiven at the enormous price it cost the Lord Jesus. And for that we're devoted to him. We'll love him and serve him and seek to honour his teaching all our days. Can you remember? Christ said, I am the light of the world. There's no other light anywhere in the whole world, whatever their culture, that will bring us to God. Amen.